Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me start this sermon by asking you to put yourself in a situation. A couple of different situations. First situation is this. How do you feel when you're driving, you're late for a meeting, and you are hitting every single red light? How do you feel when that happens? Situation two. How do you feel when you are waiting for an appointment? You're in the waiting room. It's already 30 minutes past the appointment time, and the receptionist tells you, just be patient, it's going to be 5 more minutes. Situation 3. You're leaving on vacation, you're just going for 1 week, but you're leaving later than you thought you would. You get to the expressway, it's single lane traffic, and the orange sign says, road construction, next 27 miles. How do you feel? Now, if you're a normal human being, like me, just thinking of those situations start to make you angry because all of us struggle with patience. Of all the Christian virtues, patience seems to be the hardest for us as human beings. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to focus on patience. Patience is a virtue, but it doesn't come naturally to any of us, and it's something we all struggle with. There's only one person who has perfect patience, and that is our perfect God. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if we want to learn about patience, and frankly, we all need to learn more about patience, the best person we can look to is our patient, merciful, and gracious God. So today, to start our sermon series on patience, we're going to focus on the patience of God. Let me share with you 3 things about God's patience. God is slow to anger. God's patience is merciful. And number 3, God's patience brings salvation. Let's begin with number 1, slow to anger. The Greek word for patience in the New Testament is makrothumia. That literally means slow to anger. Now, you've probably heard of someone with a short fuse, someone who can fly off the handle at the smallest thing, someone who can easily explode into a rage. That is the opposite of makrothumia. A person with macrothumia, patience, is slow to anger. They have a long fuse, a really long fuse, and they never explode into a rage. And that's how God describes himself over again in the Bible. He describes himself as slow to anger. The first place he says that about himself is with Moses on Mount Sinai from our Old Testament lesson. Now, Moses had just received the Ten Commandments. He came down from Mount Sinai and discovered people worshiping the golden calf. Moses, discouraged by this, asked to see God in his glory. God tells Moses that no one can see him in his glory and live. But he tells Moses, hide yourself in the cleft of this rock, and I will cover you with my hand, and I will pass by, and you can get a glimpse of my glory as I pass by. God passes by Moses, and as he does this, he describes himself to Moses. How does he describe himself? Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's who God is. He is the one who is slow to anger. He's the one who relents from sending disaster, the one who loves to forgive sins. That's who we see all throughout the Old Testament. For instance, when we go to the book of Jonah, we see an example of how God is slow to anger and relents from disaster. God comes to the prophet Jonah around 750 BC, 700 years after Moses. God says, you know, I've been really patient with the wicked city of Nineveh and Assyria, but it's now time for them to face judgment. Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach to them. Tell them they have 40 more days and that's it. It's all over for you. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, Jonah doesn't go to Nineveh. He runs away. God persuades Jonah that he should go to Nineveh. He persuades him by means of a large fish. After Jonah is spit up by the large fish, Jonah goes to Nineveh, fully persuaded, and 40 more days, and starts preaching exactly what God told him to preach. 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. The people of Nineveh and the king take God's word to heart. They repent with sackcloth and ashes. And God says, okay, I forgive you. And he doesn't bring judgment upon Nineveh. Jonah does not take that well. The Bible says Jonah is exceedingly angry. He's mad, really mad. He's not patient. He's not slow to anger. Jonah has a short fuse, and he's mad at God. He's mad at God because he knew God would forgive them. That's what he says. Jonah 4:2. I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Jonah's mad at God because God is too patient. I knew you were a gracious God. I knew you were merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, who would relent from disaster. You are way too patient. You are way too forgiving. But that's who God is. He is slow to anger. He is quick to forgive because, number two, God is merciful. Number two, God is merciful. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Psalm 103 is repeating God's own description of himself at Mount Sinai in Exodus 34. God's slow to anger, and God is merciful. Now, grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. As sinners, we know we deserve punishment. God had every right to destroy the human race back in the Garden of Eden. That's what we deserve, but God is merciful. He does not give us what we deserve. Nor do we see that better than in the person of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Jesus was patient, loving, and merciful to sinners. Jesus is the friend of sinners. Jesus called Levi, a sinful tax collector, to be his disciple. Levi, who would become the disciple Matthew, threw a dinner for Jesus at his house and invited all his friends, tax collectors and other sinners. And Jesus gladly ate with them. When the Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked, "Why are you eating with those people? They are beneath you." Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." That's who Jesus is, because Jesus is God. He is slow to anger, gracious, and merciful. And he is the friend of sinners, sinners like these tax collectors, and sinners like Paul, formerly known as Saul. Saul was somebody who persecuted the church. He did many terrible things. But Jesus, in his patience and mercy, chose Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul would write in 1 Timothy chapter 1, "This saying is trustworthy and true. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, the chief of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience." Paul wants everyone to know that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and he considered himself the worst, the chief of sinners. Why did Jesus choose Paul? Not because Paul was so great, but because Paul was the worst of sinners, the chief of sinners, so that Jesus might display his perfect and unlimited patience. That's who Jesus is. He's the friend of sinners. Sinners like Paul, chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Sinners like Levi and his tax collector friends, and of course, sinners like you and me. The Lord is patient with us. He does not treat us as we our sins deserve. Instead, he forgives all our sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God is patient with us. And that patience means salvation for you and for me. Number three, God's patience brings salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. So these are some of the last words we have from the great apostle Peter. It was written towards the end of his life, just before Peter would be crucified on an upside-down cross, just like on an upside-down cross. In those days, much like today, people were questioning the Lord's second coming. He said he's going to return. Well, where is he? What's taking him so long? Did the Lord forget? Is the Lord going to break his promise? Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knew exactly how to answer these people. The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise. He is patient with you. Why? He does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is waiting so that more people might be like the people of Nineveh. God wants people to repent, turn back to him, so that he might forgive them. You see, God is slow to anger, but he is quick to forgive. Everything God does is rooted in his compassion, his mercy, and his incredible patience. And that's good news for the human race and good news for you and me. You know, humans run out of patience very quickly, don't we? But God does not. God is patient, God is merciful, and his patience means our salvation. 2 Peter 3:15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. You see, God is slow to anger and quick to forgive. Patience is a virtue, and it's a virtue we see first and best in God himself through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do in our relationship with others is a response to something we have already received from God. We love because he first loved us. We forgive because God in Christ Jesus first forgives us. And we are patient with others because God has been patient with us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.